In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We come together to make our prayer. And I have in mind, especially as I pray, Lord, to you, all those who are unable to attend Mass today, all those who are confined to their homes, and where two or three are gathered together, there you are in their midst, you say to us, O Lord. And so we know you are here. As we try to live this communion of the saints, so many people who hunger for you, Lord, and we can make a spiritual communion, each one of us now, as we wish to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and the fervor of the saints. And we know that you hear us, and you're here with us praying. We want to spend these minutes with you, united, all of us, in the heart of Christ. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. We call it Laetare Sunday. The Latin word laetare means rejoice, because we begin the Mass today saying, rejoice, Jerusalem, because your mourning, your sadness will be turned into joy. And we can say, Lord, help me understand this message. Your sadness will be turned into joy. What does that mean for us? Well, it means, I think, the sacrifices of Lent are followed by the dazzling glory of Easter morning. But we can't get to the joy of the resurrection without passing through the sorrow of Good Friday. All true joy comes with a price tag. What's worth a lot costs a lot. The work of our redemption cost your very life, Lord, on the cross. And now all of us are involved in this worldwide shutdown. And we pray to you for so many who are ill and suffering right now, all over the world. We pray for those who are out of work, who lack financial means in this crisis. We pray for all those healthcare workers, many of whom are giving their lives, their health, to serve those in need. And we can pray, Jesus, give us the lights and grace to follow you and to make the sacrifices we need to change our lives in order to follow you. And that's what Lent is all about, making the changes we need in order to be a better disciple of yours. Then we will indeed find the joy and peace of Easter in our own hearts and spread it to our families and our places of work and our communities. If we change first, today's gospel is the scene of the man born blind. We can read from St. John, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is that the works of God might be made visible through him. When he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. The question of the apostles reflects the common thinking of their day. They think someone is to blame for this man's blindness. And you, Lord, correct them. Neither he nor his parents have sinned, but he too manifests the glory of God. Even with his physical infirmity, he manifests the glory of God. How often, Lord, we tend to put too much emphasis on physical perfection, on physical health and beauty, strength and intelligence, as if those gave the value to a person, to a person's life. When to God, each soul has a great worth and value, and each soul, each person, as a child of God, a creation of God, gives great glory to God. Our society may not value a person who is blind or handicapped or sick or elderly. We may value a life too much on what she can produce, on how fast he can run, on how much money he can make. We're too swayed by external abilities, what he can do. We're often impressed by the wrong things, and we don't see a child of God. But you, Lord, value a person not on how much they can make, but on how much they can love, how much they can receive love and give love. That's what really matters in life. In today's first reading, we see the prophet Samuel sent out to anoint the new king of Israel. And he goes to Bethlehem to the family of Jesse. And God said to Samuel that the new king would be of Jesse's family. So Samuel sees the sons of Jesse one after another. All are tall, strong, powerful, handsome men. But before each one, God says, no, not this one, until they come to the end. Then Samuel says to Jesse, don't you have any more sons? And Jesse says, yes, there's one more, the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not eat until he comes. Finally, the young boy David comes in. And God says to Samuel, yes, that one, anoint him. Because God sees into people's hearts. God is not impressed by externals. You, Lord, value people in a different way than we do. And in God's eyes, a blind man or even a severely handicapped person is worth the same, and perhaps even more, than a great beauty queen or pro quarterback, or financial magnate. Let's never judge by appearances. And sometimes, I know it's true, Lord, we can even reject ourselves because I may think I'm not physically like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or I'm not as smart as Einstein, or I can't do what other people can do. And it's important for us to realize, no, we're all special creations of God. And we all give glory to God with the gifts that he gave us. And God loves us. He loves me the way he made me. With all my weaknesses, with all my strengths. And we have no right to reject ourselves. And it's a pride. It's a certain pride to reject the way God made me. And he wants to use me in a unique way. And so it's important that we ask our Lord to help us right now never to be jealous of others, never to fall into self-pity, never to compare. Our Lord wants us to be the way we are. He gave us the talents he wants us to have. And he's going to use us with those talents. And we have to trust him and follow his plan for us and not torture ourselves by worrying about other things we'd wish we could do or be. Our Lord wants each one of us to know that we have a mission that only we can carry out. And our Lord is counting on us to do it. As St. Jose Maria said, wrote in The Way, many great things depend on whether you and I live our lives as God wants. God is counting on you and I. Jesus went out to meet the blind man. And he continues in the world seeking each one of us right now in this time of prayer. He's close. And St. Jose Maria liked to stress that Jesus took the dust of the ground and made clay to anoint the eyes of the blind man. And Jesus could probably have cured him just by touching his eyes or even just saying some words. But he wanted to use that poor instrument of dust, of dirt, from the ground to do that miracle. And St. Jose Maria liked to think that we are that clay, we are that dust that God uses as an instrument to cure a person. That he uses us, the dust of the ground, to make that clay, to anoint the eyes of that blind person. And he wants to use us. He counts on our cooperation to bring souls to him, to bring friends to him in the sacrament of penance, to bring his love and affection and interest to others, to bring his doctrine to our friends, to bring relief to those who are suffering, the homeless, the prisoners, the sick. That our Lord wants us, he wants to use us. We may be not worth a whole lot, just that dust of the ground, but he can use us. And he wants us to cooperate with his work. And it's so important. Many great things depend that we carry out the mission that God has for us. And we may say, well, what can I do? Lord, the world is dark. Things are bad. People are blind. So many people are blind and far from God. And they don't see. And so many are spiritually dead. What can I do? I'm a nobody in this big world. But if we become a disciple, if we grow in friendship with him, spending time with him, listening to him every day, in the scriptures, in our prayer, if we learn to be his disciple, fulfilling our ordinary duties at home and at work, you can be sure that he will use you in a marvelous way, in a way you could have never imagined. And in a way we will never know in this life. Only after our death will we know how God used us. Now, the cure of the blind man creates a big stir in the town because it was a very public miracle, and the blind man was well known as to be blind from birth. And so we continue reading St. John. His neighbors and people who earlier had seen him begging said, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, yes, it's the same one. Others said, no, he only looks like him. The man himself said, I am the man. And they brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, the religious authorities. It had been a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. It opened the eyes of the blind man. So when the Pharisees asked him how he had come to see, he said, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I can see. Then some of the Pharisees said, this man cannot be from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how could a sinner produce signs like this? And there was disagreement among them. So they spoke to the blind man again. What have you to say about him yourself, now that he has opened your eyes? He is a prophet, replied the man. Are you trying to teach us, they replied. And you a sinner through and through since you were born. And they drove him away. They threw him out of the temple. They threw him out of the synagogue. The Pharisees stand before a patent miracle, a clear miracle. But what was their reaction? They refused to believe the facts. Even more, they were enraged and they refused to believe. And this is an important thing to consider here in the presence of God as we try to make our prayer with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit present. Often, we might be tempted to think, if only Jesus came here today to our country, to our city, to my school, to my office, and did a few miracles, everyone would believe. If only Jesus did a few miracles on the Tonight Show, or maybe on YouTube, or at a TED Talk, then there would be mass conversions, and the world would be different. Well, here we see that Jesus does an irrefutable miracle, and they don't believe. Rather, they're filled with anger. And we see that the same thing happened at an earlier moment when he cured the man with a withered hand. And they said, he should not cure on the Sabbath. There are 6 days to be cured. Come and be cured on those days. It's evil to cure on the Sabbath. And even more, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they don't react saying, wow, a great prophet, the Messiah is here, let's listen to him, let's follow him. No, they want to kill Jesus. And they want to kill Lazarus too, because many were coming to believe in Jesus through Lazarus. A similar example comes to my mind from the more modern times. If you remember the miracle of the sun at Fatima, after Our Lady had appeared in 1917 on numerous times to the three little children, at the end of the apparitions, when they were over, Our Lady promised a great sign for everyone to see. And on that day, 50 to 70,000 people gathered to witness the miracle of the sun, when the sun danced and spiraled in the sky for a period of time. And thousands of people saw it. But what was the reaction of the atheists who controlled Portugal and the newspapers in Portugal at the time? They sent a group of thugs to tear down the small shrine that was built at Fatima. And one of the atheist newspapers even wrote, quote, miracles ought to be punished like transgressions against city ordinances, since they were violations of the laws of nature. The writer demanded public action against all those guilty of dragging such medievalism into the light of the 20th century. And so we can see that something is holding them back. You know, it's not that they don't believe the facts. It's these people don't want to believe. They don't want to see. They don't want to change. And that's the real crime. That's the real problem. They don't want to change their behavior, change their lives to follow Jesus. They don't want to change their opinions, their sinful ways or habits, their status in society, their power. And we can ask our Lord now, in this time of Lent, a time to change, Lord, what holds me back from following you more closely? What holds me back from believing more deeply, more firmly? Lord, what holds me back from being a more committed disciple of yours? Lord, what holds me back from following you more closely and really deciding to aim at holiness and to be your instrument in this world? As we pray now in the presence of Jesus, we can say, Lord, help me to be honest about this. What holds me back? What don't I want to give up? What don't I want to change? And why is that? And give me the courage, the strength, the grace to make the step I need to make during this time of Lent. The Pharisees reacted by casting the man out of the synagogue. They expelled him. And we continue reading the gospel. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, And when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man, in the Messiah?" "Sir," the man replied, "tell me who he is so that I may believe in him." This man wanted to believe. He wanted to believe in the Messiah so that he could follow him. He wanted to know the truth, and he would follow the truth wherever it led him, no matter what the cost. And Jesus said, "You are looking at him. He is speaking to you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. What a contrast to the Pharisees and so many others. And this man was rejected because he said things that they didn't want to hear. Just because he says the truth, he's expelled, thrown out. And how often, Lord, this happens today in our society, our modern society. If we say the truth about marriage between man and a woman, about family, the importance of family is the basis of society, about human life, sacred from inception to the grave, we can be met with anger and rage like he was met. It still happens today. People don't want to change an evil lifestyle, even if it means destroying the very society we live in. And so we see you, Lord, go looking for that poor rejected man, and you find him in the temple. And that man who had been so happy to be cured, he was so enthused, suddenly finds himself caught in this big mess because he spoke the truth and would not back down under pressure. Jesus comes here now looking for us in this time of prayer, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, during this time of confinement in the world, when you're trying to teach us many things. Lord, you know what it's like to be rejected. You know, Lord, what it's like to be hated and attacked and spit upon and mocked and mistreated. No one has ever experienced it like you did. And you did it all for me, for us, so that we might understand your love for us and your redeeming mission. And that you die that we might have eternal life and friendship with God and find the way to be happy on this earth and happy in heaven. And you've done it all for us. And we will experience all that you experienced again during this Holy Week. During this amazing Holy Week, the first time, perhaps in many, many years, in which we cannot attend those services. The priests will be carrying them out in all the churches, even without people. And we can ask you, Lord, that through some miracle, all this situation can be changed by Easter so that we can attend those sacred services of the Triduum with you in our churches. And Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Christ who's coming into the world?" "Sir," the man replied, "tell me who he is so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You are looking at him. He is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. And this may be the most direct moment in Scripture when Jesus reveals himself so clearly. "I who speak to you am he." And Jesus says to you, me right now, "Do you believe in the Son of God come into the world? Are you ready to seek him? And if you find him, are you ready to follow him? Will you listen to him and become a disciple? Are you willing to make the personal changes in your life this Lent to live in the truth that he teaches? To reject those human outlooks, those attachments, those things that hold us back, There are no shortage of Pharisees today who shut their eyes to the truth because they don't want to change, who reject Jesus and would once again want to laugh at him, deride him, spit at him, and crucify him again. And it's happening over and over again. But if we follow Jesus to the cross, we will find the joy of Easter, the joy of eternal life. And we will bring that joy and peace to our homes and to our places of work. And we will spread that same joy and peace that Jesus has in his heart. And we will meet that Jesus who waits for us with an eternal reward in heaven. Your sadness will be turned into joy. If we can turn this Lenten sacrifice, this Lenten prayer, this Lenten discipline into new life, into following Jesus closer, we will find that Easter joy. And we will be those instruments that God needs. We will be that dust, that clay, that dirt that Jesus uses to work his marvels in the world. He needs those instruments. Let's tell Jesus, I want to do that. I want to live in the truth. I want to be your instrument. We can turn finally to Mary, our mother. She was the first and best disciple of Jesus. She stayed with him from Bethlehem all the way to the cross. And all the insults aimed at him spilled out upon her as well. And through her sorrows at the cross, she came to the joy of being the mother of all Christians. Through the pains of childbirth at the cross, she had that joy of being a mother, the mother of all Christians. Mary, help me decide this Lent to become a better disciple of Jesus, so that I too can go from this period of sadness into joy and live that Laetare Jerusalem, rejoice Jerusalem, because we found the Lord and we followed him and we found that joy that he promises us in this life and life to come. Amen. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.